month for Investable ETR Briefing that covers the trading period from the 1st of April to the 31st of April 2025. Hopefully, you'll find it interesting as we look closer at what's happening within the Credat Group. Firstly, George will show you some of the work that goes on at our deal desk and some of the potential projects him and the team are looking at. Next, Neil will be discussing trade finance transactions during the month of April, and we'll give a refresh on the core principles Credat was built on. We'll also be looking at segments on our monthly reports and updates on the European and global economies. Then we'll look at the briefing itself and some of the key information from it with some updates on Credat. So for our first topic, I'll hand you over to George, who's a member of our deal desk.
A big thank you to you, Maria. I hope you're all having a fabulous time on this beautiful afternoon. We're thrilled to keep the excitement going at the deal desk. The first quarter of 2025 was full of energy, and we're committed to carrying that momentum throughout this quarter and beyond, with many discussions being had with very interesting and exciting potential originators. One very interesting company we're currently in discussions with is based in Ireland. They were founded in 1990. The company initially gained recognition for its Jumpstarter range. These are products that remain in use worldwide today, demonstrating a commitment to innovation. They were the first company to globally manufacture an EV rescue roadside solution, enabling electric vehicles to be charged on the roadside if they ran out of power. This pioneering spirit has been a constant throughout the company's history, leading to the development of bespoke energy storage systems, or ESS for short, that cater to residential, commercial, and industrial applications. Their portfolio, their product portfolio is designed to meet the evolving energy demands of various sectors. They provide residential smart grid ESS systems that offer up to 30 kilowatt hours capacity, sufficient to power a household for over 24 hours. So homeowners can reduce electricity bills by up to 90%. By storing electricity during off-peak hours and utilizing it during peak demand. They provide commercial smart grid ESS systems, which are fully compatible with existing solar systems. These solutions enable businesses to optimize energy consumption, reduce peak demand charges, and lower overall energy costs. They also provide industrial and construction smart generator ESS systems. These are tailored for the construction sector, and these systems act as a reliable backup power source, ensuring uninterrupted operations, even during grid failures. They also contribute to significant fuel savings and reduce carbon emissions. The solutions this company offers are not only cost-effective, but also environmentally friendly. By integrating renewable energy sources like solar and wind, with their battery storage systems, the company helps clients reduce reliance on fossil fuels and minimize their carbon footprint. For instance, their hybrid solutions have transformed off-grid homes and mobile businesses, such as food trucks, by significantly reducing generator usage, noise, and emissions. The current deal that we are discussing with them involves the purchase of a number of these energy storage systems to be provided as a service subscription model to construction companies in Ireland. On the shipping side of things then, we are in discussions with a company based in Malaysia. They were established in 2020. The company swiftly emerged as a dynamic force in Malaysia's maritime logistics and energy sectors. The company specializes in bunkering operations, marine consultancy, and commodity trading, serving as a crucial link in Southeast Asia's maritime supply chain. The company offers comprehensive bunkering service across Malaysian ports, including Tangwang, Brus, and Malacca, and plans to expand to Port Klang, Lingi, Port Dickson, and Kuantan. Operating a fleet of bunker barges, the company supplies both high sulfur fuel oil, or HSFO for short, and low sulfur fuel oil, LSFO for short, ensuring timely and reliable energy delivery to vessels. Beyond bunkering, they provide marine consultancy services, offering strategic advice and operational support tailored to clients' businesses directly in Asia. Their ship services encompass agency representation, forwarding, supply of ship spares and provisions, freshwater supply, bunker quantity and quality surveys, cargo and marine surveys, marine insurance services, and certified tank calibration. The company is also actively involved in the export and the import of refined palm oils, refined petroleum products, and minerals such as earth colors and fluorspar, which are valued chiefly as sources of chemicals. And the deal that we're discussing with them involves the purchase of a chemical tanker. This tanker will be used to supply fuel to various vessels in the coastal Malaysian waters. We are also in discussions with a company regarding the refinance of a cement carrier. This vessel will be used to transport cement from suppliers in Cyprus, Greece, and Italy to the Middle East. So we discussed the Jumpstart technology in the briefing with the previous company. And keeping that in mind, many of you who know me personally may know that I am a train enthusiast. I have various close family members who have worked in the industry, and I have a general interest in it. So I was amazed to find out that with doing some research about this company, we found out that in the past, they had developed solutions that cater to the heavy-duty requirements of the rail sector. So even the most substantial train engines can in fact be jump started. These jump starters are not only powerful but also portable, allowing maintenance teams to deploy them quickly across various locations. So as Ireland continues to modernize its rail infrastructure, the role of dependable jump start technology remains vital. So thank you all for joining us. I always enjoy our conversations. I will now hand things over to Neil.
Thanks for that, George. Always good to hear what is going on with the deal desk. So good afternoon, everyone. In this month's briefing, I would like to discuss an existing originator who's a leading player in the marine support sector. Incorporated in 2007, they provide marine support services to offshore exploration and production, marine construction and port terminal activities. The company has offices based around the world and initially joined the exchange in 2021. Availing of AETR asset refinancing, this has allowed them to continue to grow their business in the Gulf States, as well as operating the Gulf States. They also operate in West Africa, India, and the Far East, servicing reputable oil majors, EPC contractors, and rig owners in various phases of the offshore energy sector, ranging from subsea support, drilling support, and production and export vessels. The experienced management team comprised of master mariners and marine engineers with substantial experience in ship operations and ship management. In addition, qualified chartered accountants, as well as experienced office personnel with in-depth experience in administration. They currently own three vessels and presently charter in another three. This can rise to six at any given time. So these are usually multi-purpose ocean-going vessels, and Credit currently holds ownership over two vessels under our sale and leaseback model. To recap on this type of finance, an originator sells their vessel to Credet, and we then lease the vessel back to the originator who handles the day-to-day operations. This model enables our client to unlock working capital, which can also allow them to purchase another vessel should the need arise. As you may recall in previous briefings, AETR Asset Finance involves Credet taking full legal ownership of the asset, ensuring investor funds are secure in the marketplace. Our purchase-to-value, or PTV ratio, is typically 50% of the value of the asset. As you can probably understand, acquiring a vessel involves not only Credet in-house skills and expertise, which we've acquired since 2021, but also involves third-party legal engagement with our Greek-based legal partners, providing guidance, ensuring clean title and non-encumbrance on the vessel. They take care of the drafting of the lease agreements, vessel registry, assignment of funds, and ensuring seamless transfer of ownership. The transfer of ownership involves obtaining multiple certificates, memorandum of agreement, class status reports, reviewing the past 24 months of vessel employment, survey reports, bill of sale, and of course, we have our standard AML, KYC checks, which everybody should be familiar with. When all these specific requirements have been met, we arrange a virtual close meeting where legal documents are executed by parties before any investable funds are released. In advance of the meeting, and like all ETRs, we ensure assignment of proceeds have been established, where we issue change of bank requests to the charter parties, and once accepted, notice of assignment is then issued, reaffirming our working relationship. This sees the monthly charter party income being received directly into credit bank account, and usually it's 5 times the monthly lease amount. Extensive due diligence is also required on the originator company before Credet is willing to consider proceeding with a facility of this nature. This involves analysing the company financial statements and, again, conducting AML KYC checks and directorship and ensuring compliance with Credet internal policies. Going forward, should the need arise for this originator and they want to purchase another vessel, a significant amount of our due diligence has already taken place. So this means any new business will progress in a shorter time frame than their initial trade. The first trade involved a sale and leaseback of a vessel with AETR asset value worth €1.7 million. In this transaction, the purchase payment or purchase to value was set at 50%, meaning Credet funded half the original asset value amount. This arrangement proved to be highly successful, and the vessel is currently engaged in steady charter employment off the coast of Saudi Arabia. Due to the positive outcomes of this trade, our client expressed interest in entering another AETR agreement. So this subsequent trade had a higher value, but still adhered to the same procedures with Credet, mandating the income generated from charter hire flow directly into Credet's bank account. With AETR facilities that involve vessel purchasing, we look to an independent valuation of the asset. However, this is not the sole basis under which we make our determination. We review this in conjunction with the employment history of the vessel and time since its last special survey, which is mandatory to be carried out every 5 years. On this occasion, the third-party valuers at the time estimated the second vessel should have a sale price of between $4.2 and $4.4 million, based on a fair market price and on recent ship characteristics, ensuring there are no unrepaired damage and vessel is free of any liens and encumbrances. These factors were taken into consideration, and based on this information, Credet assessed the value of the asset at $4.2 million. Due to this valuation, it was agreed the trade would have an AETR asset value of $2.1 million, term over 36 months, and takes PTV into consideration, ensuring our purchase price is protected. This means our maximum exposure to the originator is now just shy of $2.5 million. Following a review of the application, Trade Desk produced a credit paper on the second facility, which could be described as a very detailed SWOT analysis. This covers strengths and weaknesses and other more specific areas like vessel repayment capacity, our client's ability to secure employment on the vessel, be it by time chartering or CP agreements. Credit papers are reviewed by all three members of our credit team and must be approved before we proceed with the intended offer. These considered what-if scenarios and sets out ways Credet can mitigate risks and could involve a signing of insurance policies. We also subscribe to Vessel Finder, which monitors vessels' whereabouts and provides real-time information of vessel routes, accurately pinpointing their location wherever they are in the world. And naturally, Credet vessels are only employed in unsanctioned territories and waters. I hope you found this presentation informative. I'll now pass you to Maria, who's going to discuss key global factors along with Credet's recent trading figures. Thank you, everybody.
Yep, thanks for that, Neil. As always, it's very interesting to hear about the originator companies on the exchange and the various trades that we're working on. So as we've stated before, Credet will always try to stay informed on what's happening in the world when looking for any new business. Trades that are meaningful to us and have an impact in today's current affairs will always be available, as they are what the world and the market is focusing on. So moving to the Baltic Index, we saw that April started off at 1,586. The index declined sharply throughout the first half of the month, reaching a low of 1,238. It slowly increased in the latter half of the month before ending at a figure of 1,390. The Baltic Index was recorded at 1,303 as of today. As mentioned in other briefings, we promise to continuously keep an eye on the global economy and factor in geopolitical issues that can cause ongoing effects to the market. Moving to global news, we saw that the Eurozone business activity slipped into decline in May, according to provisional PMI survey data. S&P Global's PMI output index dropped to 49.5 in May from 50.4 in April. The decline pushed the PMI below the 50.0 no change mark for the first time since December, signaling a reduction in private sector output. The European Commission, in its spring 2025 economic forecast, expects the EU economy to keep growing steadily in 2025, with growth expected to pick up in 2026. It has projected GDP growth of 1.1% in 2025 and 1.5% in 2026 in the EU. The European Central Bank also looks set to reduce borrowing costs for an eighth time this cycle when it meets in June, with Belgium's Pierre Wunsch stating that recent shocks and uncertainty could justify a potential cut below the current 2.25% deposit rate. Looking at the UK, the International Monetary Fund said the UK is experiencing an economic recovery, with GDP expected to rise by 1.2% this year, a step up from the 1.1% growth it predicted in April. The new forecasts come in the midst of the UK striking a trade agreement with the US last month that will cut the bulk of Trump's tariffs. The deal saw US tariffs on cars immediately cut from 27.5% to 10%, with levies on steel and aluminium reduced to zero. However, a general 10% tariff for other goods will remain. Moving to the US, we see that US consumer confidence improved in May. This comes after five straight months of declines that sent consumer confidence to its lowest level since the onset of the COVID-19 pandemic. Consumer confidence jumped 17.4 points to 72.8, but remained below 80, which can signal a recession ahead. In related news, the U.S. Court of International Trade ruled President Trump had overstepped his legal authority in applying the 10% reciprocal tariffs on U.S. trading partners. The court also blocked a separate set of U.S. duties on China, Mexico, and Canada. Stocks surged in response to the court ruling, with the Dow Jones Industrial Average up 55 points or 0.1%, while the S&P 500 increased 0.8% and the tech-heavy NASDAQ climbed 1.4%. Moving to the last section, I will discuss the briefing itself. You will see the figures in the first section showing the active RSA of 52.03 million euro, with 62.97 million fully allocated. If we look to the right-hand side of the briefing, we can see that the credit index is 69, with a trading figure for the month recorded at 7.86 million euro, with all available ETR in the market fully utilized. Credit control collections this month amounted to 11 million euro, with the exchange's performance once again continuing to jump ahead of all prior years. Our list of top 10 largest holdings and top 10 rated once again contain regular appearances from Skanska Costain, EKFB, and Tarmac Trading. At the top of the list, similar to last month's briefing, are construction debtors, Skanska Costain, and EKFB. Tarmac Trading is also back near the top with the HSC, and Atradius moving higher, making another appearance. Our donut graphs show the wide variation of our investments, with the largest sections again in wholesale and retail, construction, manufacturing, and hospitality. These different sectors have familiar debtors on our top 10 largest holdings, with regular and reoccurring ones as well as new debtors being added monthly. The performance in wholesale and retail was the highest this month, with CBRE and Atradius representing the sector. Construction was our second largest in performance this month, which is represented by Skanska Costain in our largest holdings for April. These donut graphs continue to show the strong levels of diversification employed throughout credit. If we continue to look at the performance sector, we see that for month 4 of 2025, trading totaled 7.86 million euro, which is circa 33% lower than the 11.79 million euro recorded in month 4 of 2024. Volumes decreased for this month as the value to volume ratio increased again, in line with higher value and quality traded ETRs. Investor redemptions decreased to 1.16 million euro, with the credit index at 69 for April. Finally, continuing its strong performance trend, the construction sector registered the largest trade in April at 1.47 million GBP. Our trend section shows the interest for the month running outside of the current demand, fixed and term rates. We can see from the briefing that the interest rate started at 2.138% and decreased throughout the first half of April, reaching a low of 2.059%. It fluctuated slightly during the middle of the month before leveling off again to end the month at 2.106%, with potential for maize rates to ease and remain steady. As you will all know from previous months, our investable rates on offer for the three products currently stand at demand at 3.50%, fixed at 4.25% for 12 months, and term at 15% at the end of 36 months. This section shows the demand for investable is starting to level off and show consistency. With the combination of the new rates and equitable ETFs, which has been a topic with many of you and Patrick, it's predicted this will continue to grow. And as before, the briefing document ends with the RSA figure of 52.03 million euro. And that concludes this month's briefing for April 2025.